Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you're here to, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate our podcast and leave us a comment or two. We would appreciate that. And now, without further delay, we're about to get it rolling. I'd like to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner in podcast crime, Reg. What is the deal, Pimpin'?
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. What's happening?
Man, you know what it is, man. We're just trying to hold it in the road, man, and make it do what it's supposed to do.
Trying to stay cool out here. It's like 114.
I'm telling you, man.
In the car.
It's like,
you with know, the air on.
That shit is crazy, man.
It's crazy.
Hey, you know most cars got these digital thermometers on the dash and shit.
Yeah.
Let's say 70, 80, 90 or whatever.
Yeah.
My shit that says WTF. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. This WTF, man. WTF. It's crazy, man. Hey, but that's what it is, man. The dog days of summer. It's my favorite time of year, man. I guess because, you know, my birthday's in the summer and whatnot. I'm always out on vacation.
No doubt.
You know, during the summer. So, you know, I kind of like it like that, man. So, what's been up with you?
Man, work and play every day. Man, talking about vacation, I'm trying to figure out what my next one's going to be.
Yeah, when you out in Vegas, man, throwing the dice?
Yeah, Vegas, man, was nice, man. It was hot, you know, that dry heat. A lot of people been out to Vegas, but
yeah,
I found time to sort of, you know, relax and
how much money did you win, though, man? How much money did you win? Any money?
Undisclosed amount, man. Undisclosed. Okay. Undisclosed.
All right, then. Yeah. So what's your game of choice?
I came back with the same amount that I
did. You left it.
Put it like that.
That's a win.
Yeah.
Fucking with Vegas, but this is the thing, though, because, you know, I mean, what's your game of choice? Because they're not outside. You know, you can't be outside behind the building shooting dice like you're accustomed to doing. You got to do that shit.
Yeah, rolling CeeLo against the building.
You can't do it.
Yeah, I honestly, I'm not really a gambler, though. But blackjack would be my thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like blackjack, really, too, man. Yeah, I'm a blackjack dude. Yeah. I don't like poker and shit like that.
Yeah.
But that's what it is, man. What we going to get into today, man?
I think we've had some requests on some current events. But I think within those current events, we've had some requests about talking about politics. And I think maybe we might jump into that today with these current events pieces. Because, you know, time is ticking, man. And this 2020 stuff is really heating up, especially in the, black voters and black community. And it's a lot of stuff that's on the table. And I think this year may be, or at least from what I see and feel in social media, I think this might be a turning point for the black vote in this election as opposed to others, especially since Obama's out. I was about to say out the way, but you know what I'm saying? He's out of office. But
depending on how you look at it, out the way.
Yeah, out the way. Might hurt some feelings out there, but it is what it is.
And you know what, man? I was blinded by the, I continue to, you know, to occasionally sip from the cup of Kool-Aid that is.
We all do.
Saying Obama and his wife, because they're extraordinary people, and the things that were accomplished were extraordinary.
Exceptionally smart, people.
Right. I would love to, to say I'm associated with someone of that particular caliber. Not necessarily him or her, but I'm just saying having those caliber of people in my circle would definitely be advantageous. But from a political standpoint, man, when you step back and when you get up off the black shit, over time, when you really look at it, you know, up under a microscope, man, it's... It could have been a little bit better.
A lot better. Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to be nice to this motherfucker.
The line that you draw is very definitive when you say black. Once you put black in there. But
that's just the thing. He couldn't even say black.
Nothing.
He couldn't even say black. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's absolutely nothing. There's no progress that black people have made under Obama and outside of just being emotionally happy and
having a figurehead, in the White House, saying the old.
Seeing a beautiful black family in the White House and all the symbolism that comes with it.
The symbolism was good, man. And again, like I said, based on who they are, what they've accomplished, the dues that they paid, they seem to have done everything, quote unquote, the right way. There's nothing not to like from a personal standpoint. You know what I'm saying? Scandal free.
Yeah.
You know, seem to be doing, you know, the best job that they possibly, you know, can, you know, raising, you know, two daughters with all that scrutiny and things like that. I mean, you know, that's some shit that I can't even really begin to fathom.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so I get it and I respect it. But man, from a political standpoint, when you really start peeling back the motherfucking onion.
Make you cry.
That's what I'm saying.
Onion,
it will make you cry. So, but nonetheless, man. And now motherfuckers trying to ride this Joe Biden train. And I'm just like, man, I'm like, man, let me the fuck off. This must stop. You know what I'm saying? This must stop. You know, I'm sitting up here. You know, you have to pull the thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I'm pulling the motherfucking thing. Trying to say, stop. Yeah. This must stop, bro.
This must stop right here.
This must stop. But I mean, we've had several, you know, political conversations that surrounded a couple things, you know, as far as voting mostly, but and the rationale behind voting and things like that. But, you know, whenever we discuss politics, it's always been who's going to say black? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what's fucked up about it is that it's the white people out here saying black.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, because when you look at somebody like Elizabeth Warren, she said it quite a few times. The mayor from, was it South Bend is where he's from?
Buttigieg.
Yeah, Buttigieg, yeah, he said it a few times. He basically summed up, you know, he said systematic racism. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got writers.
What I'm saying, though, is, you know, once it's out there, it's attached to you. So he had to have read that shit at some point, you know, because Obama was like, no, this says black. You said black too many times. You said black too many times.
Yeah.
You need to find another word to possibly.
Yeah. I mean, they have their puppets to, you know, sort of curtail them, you know, as to what buzzwords they need to say and when to say it. That's part of the game.
So do you think that the N-word is a buzzword, and you think somebody's right to speech, you know, somebody might be using it. It's one of the things, man, where, because we're going to talk about Kamala Harris, man, and let's just skip the N-word thing. Let's just get to her right now, because I was relatively impressed with her in the debate, just for the simple fact that, you know, she went right at Joe Biden's neck.
What she did?
You know, she
I saw it, but
yeah, she, you know, she basically called him out on some past associations. But my whole thing was this: I like the fact that she did it. But when you look at how long this dude's been in politics, he's been in politics and trying to do things that weren't necessarily culturally accepted. So in that particular time period, you are normally going to be, if you ain't shaking hands with the devil, you giving them a pound or something. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's one of them things to where you can't have a political career. His political career would have already been over. Had you know what I'm saying? It's one of those things. And I'm not saying give Joe Biden a break. That's not what I'm saying. Because, you know, he's... But I'm just... If you rank him up with any... all these politicians got dirt. And for the record, I kind of like mine just a little soiled. You too squeaky clean, you suspect.
You like him soiled.
I like when I say soiled, I mean I like politicians that aren't afraid to call, you know, to call you. Like, listen here, you son of a bitch. You know what I'm saying? I'm that's the kind of politician I want. that has that kind of attitude, not necessarily the vernacular.
Well, that's Trump, but for that matter.
No, but that, what I'm saying is from a Democratic standpoint is what I'm saying. I'm not even talking about the Republican shit. You know,
it's all the same. It's just they just got different colors, different symbols, different names. But I mean, with Biden, all I think about is. The precursor to the 94 crime bill. That's what comes to mind. I mean, that's the thing that's really haunted him and has really come back as he is now campaigning for 2020. And if you think about it,
she took it all the way back to busing, though, man. I'm just like, dude, like, so you talking about a whole different time period.
But check it out. Notice that she deflected some talks around reparations.
Mm-hmm.
A question before that. I mean, if you're going back to that specific debate,
right,
where Marianne Williamson, and I don't endorse anyone at this point. I don't endorse any presidential candidate. I'm speaking as a bipartisan. So, but it was a question around reparations, and as she answered it, because she was really the only candidate to talk about reparations. Which is to me the most biggest priority right now for black folks is
tell us why that's a priority.
Reparations, because it's a debt that's owed, and since the largest disparity that we have against systematic white supremacy, which is racism, is closing the wealth gap or bridging the wealth gap. That's a buzzword too. That's a buzz phrase. The quickest way, I didn't say quickest, but probably the best, most direct and bona fide way to close that gap, America, is reparations through cash payments, cash distributions, if you will. It is a debt that is owed. And if we are serious, saying, hey, I want to help those that need the most help first, we always need the most help first in this country. And reparations, which, you know, the H.R. 40 bill and that hearing has taken place. But the real pushers of the reparations movement are outside of what you see as what they call the new black media. And a lot of people within that movement, if you will, that I think are speaking truth. And I think anytime that has come up, you know, if you think about, with reparations, you got a lot of other groups. And this isn't new information. You got Indian tribes, you know, so-called Indian tribes, Chickasaw and all these Seminole. You can go down the list. They get billions.
Yeah, and they're allowed to set up, you know, their
casinos and stuff.
Economic bases. Yeah,
and like a lot of that is still due to us from the 1866 Indian Treaty.
Right.
But that's a whole nother story. But you got Jewish people who have gotten reparations, Japanese from the Japanese, Koreans, a lot of different groups get reparations, whether it's a whole nation or ethnicity of people or not. You got people from 9/11, families from 9/11 tragedy, God rest their soul, but they get reparations. So reparations is, you know, restitution for something, for a wrong that has happened.
Right.
And what is the greatest wrong that has happened, maybe arguably in the world? That has been documented is what has happened on this very soil. So when that comes up, and if any candidate, any person that can't get behind it, to me, it's a slap in the face. And so Kamala has on camera said that she's not going to do anything specifically for black people. That's on camera. She said, am I going to do anything for black people? No, that's all over the waves. So when I hear that, and it wasn't out of context either, I say, okay, well, here we go. Cory Booker, you know, and you just go down the list. So, but
So you're riding with Marianne Williamson right now?
I'm not riding with anyone.
I'm saying
that she was the only one that was speaking to it.
If that is what your choice is based around, you voting for Marianne Williamson?
No, we're not. I don't vote in the presidential election. I've shared that with you. That's just a personal thing. I vote locally. I believe that's something that can be control by the people, but to me, democracy is a big veil.
Until they get rid of the Electoral College.
Yep, an Electoral College is one of the a part of the veil.
Right.
I personally think this is Reg's personal opinion. Is that, and it is based on a lot of things that I've read and understood, is that America is too small, or is too big. The title of the presidency is too big for the people to decide who goes into it. You know how big the president, that is the leader of the free world, if you will, to take that type of, that the people will actually control that. It goes beyond. It's too big for us to control, because you think about what has gone through the topics and the debates thus far, and it's going to be many more to come. The greatest thing that we have right now, the biggest thing economically, really, is the oil. I mean, everything's about oil and gas anyway, globally.
Right.
But one of the biggest things we're facing is losing the dollar. The dollar dropping because of what's happening in the world. Trump has pissed everybody off, and now Russia is taking a position with Venezuela and Saudi Arabia and these, and they're, you know, in position to sort of take over. And once they take over the
craziest motherfucking regimes out there,
right? And Putin is all about power,
right?
So if you know, he's in position to, you know, take Venezuela, who has the largest oil reserve in the world, not the biggest exporter, but largest reserve.
It's just sitting there.
It could very well, we could be looking at in a few years, if not sooner, oil being traded in another currency. Right. That would automatically drop the dollar. Now you imagine what happens to our economy. So, I mean, that's a huge thing, but we don't sort of talk about, you know, those international and global issues.
Right, right. Well, I look at it like this, man. I am no longer offering my vote to just the best Democratic candidate. You know what I'm saying? I'm no longer going to be the let's just get Trump out guy. You know what I'm saying?
Good for you, man.
Because what I have found out, and I believe that it was Malcolm X that talked about liberals being worse than,
yeah,
you know. So if y'all don't know his quote or you don't know his context, look that shit up.
The ballot or the bullet.
Right. So, you know, and I mentioned a few times in some other episodes, man, how my wins have changed in regards to politics, man. And basically, because I went the fuck off. I'm going to tell you, man, I went off when we talked about voting in a show.
Yeah, you did.
I went off about it. And, you know, we talked about, you know, the ancestors and shit like that. And, you know, you said something that was very pointed. It made me think, you were like, man, the ancestors died for a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And what I've come to realize is that, yeah, our ancestors died for the actual right to vote or not vote.
Yeah.
And I'm still not to the point where I'm ready to say I'm not voting, or encourage people to say, or encourage people to not vote or whatnot, because of what you were talking about before, as far as how large the presidency is and so on and so forth. But I do think that the Electoral College renders your vote useless in some regards.
Yeah, I mean,
it reduces the whole political system down to the fact that we got to band together to get rid of a crazy motherfucker like Trump. That's what it does. So, in that regard, it's terrible. Secondly, I don't think that our ancestors were beaten and, you know, bitten by dogs and, you know, sprayed with fire hoses and a whole bunch of other shit to be marginalized, you know, in between every election cycle. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, you know, we're marginalized and we ain't shit until it's time to be pandered to.
Exactly. Like keyword Kamala, pandered.
Yeah, like Hillary Clinton did.
Yep.
Like Kamala Harris has been doing. And I like Kamala Harris, you know, and I think she gets a lot of unnecessary heat for being a prosecutor, because if you are a prosecutor by nature, your job description is to prosecute motherfuckers.
Yeah, but she is prosecute a lot of us.
I understand that, but what I'm saying,
the policies have been really screwed up.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that when you are a prosecutor, you know, you can easily get caught up in what your actual job is without consideration to what your future political aspirations are.
Right.
So again, like I said, that's an issue. That's an issue. But I also challenge people who talk about, well, she prosecuted a lot of black people. I'm like, well, what are you supposed to do when a black person commits a crime? What are you actually supposed to do? Have we identified inconsistencies in the way that she prosecutes black people versus white people? If that's out there, then that's an issue. Mm-hmm. But you understand what I'm saying, though, right?
It's like, yeah.
If you're the DA, what the fuck are you supposed to do? If somebody comes in and kills a member of my family and you don't prosecute them, I'm gonna have an issue. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But again, let me finish what I was gonna say about the voting shit, man. And I feel like that, you know, we're constantly taken advantage of by liberals that aren't really allies. You understand what I'm saying? All they really want is enough votes to obtain whatever their power grab is, you know, when they need the black vote.
That's it.
And my whole thing is, when you talk about the black vote, that to me, that lets me know that you don't necessarily see me as somebody that has any value. You look at what I can do for you.
We're a doormat.
Right. You look at me as what I can do for you as the value, not necessarily what my quote unquote struggle is, what my situation is, what context of which I'm trying to survive the racist power structure that you've actually helped to uphold.
Shit.
You know, historically. So, you know, not to get real deep and philosophical about the shit, because it's, you know, if you're black and you're listening to this show, you know what it is, because you live in it.
That's right.
But it's like when motherfuckers try to frame you and say the black vote, think about that shit.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's crazy.
And I think the best way for anyone, whether black, white, male, female, what have you, is what are your interests, and are you voting for your interests? Not for a party, not for a person, but for an interest. And if someone is not campaigning and saying, you know, what's in your best interest or matches your interest, whatever those interests are, well, then you might decide to sit it out. If they are, then you vote for them. To me, it's very simple. For me, and maybe a lot of other black Americans, is, you know, what are you campaigning for specifically that will, you know, help empower black Americans? And I can go down a list of things, but if you're not speaking to those, if you're scared to speak for those, well, then you don't have my support.
Yeah, we don't have any common ground.
It's very simple. So if I don't care, what is it, up to 24 of them now? You know, if 24, you know, have no interest, you know, don't match my interest, well, then I'm sorry.
So basically, we're rolling with Marianne Williamson because she's trying to get us paid.
No.
But I mean, on some real shit though, man, you know, she's talking about, there was an article in New York Times actually, where she has proposed paying $200 billion to $500 billion in reparations for slavery over a period of 20 years. So that's 25, up to $25 billion a year. Is that what she's trying? Up to 25, from 10 to $25 billion a year. Yeah, that's not nearly enough. But it's, you know, at the same time, it ain't fucking enough. I shouldn't be paying taxes. It's like, I shouldn't be paying taxes, man. I shouldn't have no student loan debt.
Go to ADOS101.com.
I know the numbers are like in the trillions.
Like 20 trillion.
Yeah, in the trillions of dollars of what they really owe. But nonetheless, and I'm not really big on, you know, giving motherfuckers kudos or shit, but the fact that she has tried to put some pen to paper to say we owe, it's time to ante up. I mean, that's better than Bernie. Bernie, like, straight dodged the question on Breakfast Club when he was on there and shit. And so I'm just like, that shit turned me the fuck off.
And then Mitch McConnell, you know, was like, what are you talking about?
Right. So, but I mean,
Elizabeth Warren, too, she was like, paid for what?
Right.
It's a lot of,
you know, and on top of that, man, I'm really getting tired of, because I'm for everybody having, you know, the respect and the rights that they deserve, man. But I'm kind of tired of motherfuckers tying in other groups with the black experience. That shit is fucking frustrating to me at this particular point. And I'm just saying, I mean, they always want to throw that shit in. I'm just like, man, that shit is not, I mean, they have their own separate issues that need to be dealt with. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's, you know, and my whole thing is this, you have a choice as to whether or not you want to openly live as an LGBTQ person. You know what I'm saying? You have a choice.
It's a lifestyle.
That's your thing. You know? I can't live and not be black.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And see, this is
and I'm not saying, because I don't want to get my fucks twisted, because I do business with, you know, with that particular community. So I'm not.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is that it's not the same fucking thing. You know what I'm saying? So if you come to me with that bullshit, you might get the shit slapped out of you. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not the same fucking thing, and that's all I'm gonna say. But at the same time, there needs to be some attention paid to that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that community's issues definitely need to be addressed, because it makes us worse as a country. But damn, can we get broke off first? Can we handle what need to be handled first?
Yep.
Okay, and that's all I'm gonna say about that. Now, Kamala Harris, on the other hand, is talking about this this housing bill that it's supposed to be. She proposed a $100 billion program for, quote, home buyers who rent or live in historically redlined communities. Her plan would provide up to a $25,000 down payment and closing cost assistance to 4 million households who rent or live in historically redlined communities.
So you got to live in those communities. So this is already segmented.
Because I live in the suburbs. I haven't lived in the suburbs for the better part of 20 years now, so I can't get no money. Why? I don't deserve no money to go buy my next crib.
See what I'm saying?
When motherfuckers are living, you know, in a 6,000 square foot house off of the backs of the and the labor of my. Okay. All right, man. Okay.
And see, she'll flip that and call that a form of reparations.
Right.
Other candidate. You see what I'm saying?
And
what I didn't. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Fresh.
No, I just wanted to say that, you know, we have to be really, really careful when people try to not only segment us, but expect us to live in the state of expectation that we will benefit from some segmented portion of our community getting, quote unquote, getting something out of this shit. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, fuck it. But who had that damn, it's almost like Reaganomics. You know, it's like, you know, if you let this half of this small section of the people, let them pay less taxes on as much money as that they're earning, they're going to create more jobs and this, da, 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 da.
Right, right.
This is the same shit in reverse. It's like, okay, we're going to have you in these trickle-down fucking economics. That's what it's called. Yep. We're going to give these people in this particular area this amount of money, and this should help the black community as a whole, because there's going to be more home ownership. There's going to be this. There's going to be, man, fuck all that. What people need to pay attention to is the fact that even against all odds, even though our wealth is still a fraction of what white wealth is, we still have managed to increase our wealth in a racist economic system that is built to keep us from getting there. We've still built it. So the focus needs to be on how do we continue to increase our economic base and our wealth and our income. You know, it's, and to me, you don't do that shit by giving me 25 grand so I can go buy a piece of real estate.
Right.
You do that shit by giving me the tax advantages, the, you know, like I said, no student loan
reparations.
It goes back to reparations.
Cut the check.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Cut the motherfucker. Or in the words of one of my favorite groups, MOP, Andy Up.
Andy Up.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. I mean, the shit is just, it's out of hand. It's like no matter how you try to flip that shit.
We play with it every 4 years, man. It's something.
It's something. I'm just like, cut the motherfucking check. Cut the check, man.
That's
like, if you want to see me go out and do something, give me $500,000. I'm gonna show you what to do.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You give me
$500,000. Show me the money.
Show me the money. I'm gonna show you what $500,000 can do for a generation.
And I think in extension to
fuck your $25,000 down payment, dude.
For a segmented market.
Let's do some quick math. Okay. All right, so what I'm going to look up real quick, bro. We're just going to take our location. We're just going to take Charlotte, North Carolina. The median square foot price in Charlotte, which has one of the highest fucking cost of living, it seems like, nowadays. Let's just say you want a 1,500 square foot house, man. All right?
Very modest.
Very modest. 3-bedroom, 2-bath. No bonus room, no nothing. 1,500 square feet. Average is $152 per square foot. That's a $228,000 house. You know what I'm saying? So you're basically saying you're going to give you 8% down, right? So 228, let me see. You're going to give me 9% down on a $228,000 house. That's what you're going to do. So that means that I'm still going to have a $200,000 mortgage.
Now you're putting people in homes that they really can't afford.
That really can't afford this shit.
Yeah. Didn't
we see this 2007, 2008? Didn't we see that picture played out before? Didn't we see this shit?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Man.
All right. I mean, we've seen that story. We see the end of that story. Okay. All right. So I mean, 25. Fuck, I'm going to do with $25,000.
Nothing.
Dude, I spent $25,000 the first 3 months of the year.
There it is.
Real shit.
No. It's simple, man. It's ridiculous, man.
This shit is absolutely phony. And like I said, she has and my whole thing is, I like the idea of Kamala Harris. I like the idea of a black woman being president. But she ain't even really all black. And it's not even like she's trying to.
She's pandering, man.
She's pandering. She's not even married to a black dude. She ain't married to a black dude.
Yeah, I mean, you know that.
Marry who you want, but I'm just saying, I look at that shit.
I want you to later maybe look more back into some of her policies if you want to. I think her policies is really screwed up, but she had me. Let me tell you how fake she is. When at
the Tupac and Biggie shit.
That too.
I've been dead.
She's like, Tribe Called Quest is some group that she would play at a cookout or something in that right fight. Fife been dead for 3 years.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're not really you. You know what I'm saying?
We don't even really know who the fuck she is. That's the problem. We don't understand who the fuck she really
and
is.
And then Roland recently talking about, people questioned about her. She went to HBCU. Okay, so did what's her name? Rachel Dolezal went to Howard.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? Herman Cain went to fucking Morehouse.
I mean, shit. I went to HBCU, but that don't mean nothing in terms of, you know, the person. It's just because Pledge, AKA, whatever. I don't care. Okay, and she didn't really identify as being black. Like, matter of fact, it's a lot of things when she was got into her Senate seat.
Mm-hmm.
It said first Indian American, first Asian American, first Indian. There's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of gray area there. And if you know, if you not for us,
she black because being black is lit right now.
I mean, her father, you know, and her father's, you know, she's half Jamaican. And I think her father pretty much denounced her, but had a lot of negative things to say about her campaign. If anything, didn't really support her, to my knowledge. And then And I believe she comes from like the elitist Jamaicans. I forget the name of them, but it's
enough to question. And like I said, I still love the idea of a black woman president. Yeah. Whether or not she calls herself black or anything, I love the idea of a black woman president.
Sure.
But I would have to say, and she's qualified. I can't really knock her credentials. Yeah. She is a politician. She is a senator. She is just as qualified, if not more qualified, than Barack Obama. If you just look at the resume, if you just look strictly at the resume, she's just as qualified. If not, actually, probably a little bit more. But nonetheless, because when you're a DA, you're basically a government official. You know what I'm saying? So she has a little bit more, municipal experience than Barack did. But nonetheless, I ain't voting for her ass.
You were scaring me for a minute there.
I ain't voting.
If you did, you did. Mm-hmm. But you know.
No, I ain't voting for her, man. So let's move on, man. We talked about does this satisfy y'all motherfuckers now? Is that enough politics for y'all? Is that enough politics?
Well, God, you didn't talk about the other 20 candidates, y'all.
Yeah, man, fuck them. Oh, except the mayor. The mayor. Fuck him too, but. The mayor kind of owned up to the fact that, he's talking about destroying the racist power structure that is beholding black people back, but yet he didn't fire his police chief.
Thank you for bringing that up. So
go ahead and fire your police. And even the white dude called him, you the mayor, why don't you fire the motherfucker?
I don't trust none of them.
Right. So there you go.
That's me.
Right. But moving on, man. So what else is out there, man? Hey, California became the first state to ban discrimination against natural hair.
I guess that counts me out if I live out there, because I wouldn't have no problem.
And this goes under the "ain't that a bitch" file.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, this is, and you motherfuckers don't want to talk about reparations. The fact that states have to pass a law to where we can't be discriminated against because of the way we wear our hair.
Isn't that crazy?
And you don't think that we deserve some motherfucking money.
Yeah, I mean,
get the fuck out of here with that shit. I mean, that's what kills me with that shit, man. I mean, yeah, we want to talk about reparations because we have to get laws passed to where we can wear what the fuck grows out of our head naturally.
Naturally. That's crazy, man.
Think about this shit, bro.
Didn't it come off the heels of that wrestler guy that they cut his hair? Where was that? What state was that?
I don't know, man.
I think that's sort of what helped.
I think there may have been somebody write it, or some shit like that. I don't know, but it's crazy.
Hopefully it's something, I always look at politics is there some motive behind it that I'm not catching? Yeah, what do I have to, they pass it. Okay, now what else is going to happen? But I think ultimately that's a good thing.
I'm just going to say this because we're going to move off of it, man, because we're running out of time. I'm just going to say that if you don't think that when you look at these laws and other laws where they have to actually legislate our natural born rights still in damn near 2020, and you don't think that we need to get paid, then you are fucking high. You are definitely snorting something.
And it's the thing about it is it's old. It's old. That's
right.
All.
Right.
So,
well, moving on, man. Speaking of being high and snorting something, 20 tons of cocaine found on JP Morgan Chase cargo ship, street value $1.3 billion. That is billion with a B.
Now, where was that? It was found where?
It was found in.
And that's just what they found, right? That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously at a port, man, because it was on a cargo ship.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was like. I was thinking Miami. But
Miami, they say, hey, Miami, all that good shit, that's just a fucking Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know how you do it in Miami, shipment. Man.
Yeah.
So, let me see. It said it arrived at the Packer Marine Terminal in Philly.
Okay.
Philly about that life too.
Philly.
19.76 tons.
On the 4th of July?
On the 4th of July. You talk about some fireworks. Somebody was getting lit the fuck up.
Damn.
Right. So, but anyway, man, I think that a lot of banks and other financial entities have other ventures that they invest in and things like that. But I think that it's really, important that we think of the fact that this is a if you know the history of JP Morgan Chase, man, that they ain't always been on the up and up anyway.
Of course.
So, make your own connection. I just think it's kind of funny that they own it and they got a billy worth. Not just a pallet full. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not just a couple boxes, you know, hidden in some shit. Yeah, this is 19.76
almost
tons.
20 tons.
You know what I'm saying? 19.76 tons, man. If you're looking at a weight, that is 39,520 pounds. Okay, because black folks don't think about tons.
Yeah.
You know, we think about their street shit. You know what I'm saying? So if you want it in weight, it's 39,520 pounds.
Wow.
So, and for all, all of my brothers that are out there in the struggle, man, I'm going to break it down even further for you, just so y'all understand this shit. 39,520 pounds is, that shit is 17,925,970 grams. So I don't know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so, you know, I just relate to the point.
Just so
they can relate. If you want about an ounce, it's 632,320 ounces. All right. So just to clear that shit up for all the people that still
make
out
it clear.
Hustle, just so we can clear how much this shit was.
Wow.
So it's absolutely crazy that it's actually on a ship that's owned by a historically corrupt financial institution. Connect your own motherfucking dots. All right.
Yep.
Moving on. Man, your boy, one of your favorite people.
Uh-oh.
Aura.
No, that's your boy.
No, listen. You know that R. Kelly is not my nigga.
Yes, ma'am.
You know what I'm saying? So, but anyway, you know, he got brought up on some fed charges. And the only reason why I'm even addressing this motherfucker again is the fact that it's fed. Because, you know, normally speaking, federal people don't really fuck with you unless they got some shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they normally just really don't mess with you unless they can seal the case.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they are on this dude like stink on shit, it's kind of telling. So,
and coincidentally, they on him right after Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking came up. Of course, they had to bring him up, but you know.
All right. I don't even know about all that shit, man, but all I know is that I hope R. Kelly gets fucked in the ass with a hot, broken broomstick.
Hey, you know, you do the crime, you do the time, you know what I'm saying? You do the dirt, you got to put in the work.
So, yeah, and it's I read on one blog, man, that people that were close to him have, like, turned over, like, 20-something sex tapes with him and minors or some shit like that, yeah. Man. So it's about to get real ugly, man. They're probably building a new jail with him being in the foundation at this particular point.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, happy trails, motherfucker. That's what you get. All right, man. So that is going to be the show for today, man. And unless you got anything to add on your boy. You know,
nah.
Because I know you don't see nothing wrong with a little bit of grind.
I'm good.
All right. Well, it seems like you're ready to go ahead and end the show. But
I'm
pumped.
I'm good, man. I'm just thinking about earlier what we were talking about with on the political stuff, man. Right,
that's our political. That's our political show.
We have to have another show.
We go ahead and get into it as it goes on, because we're gonna come off with a. You know, this is kind of a thing that we put together on some current shit, man, that, you know, we felt like we wanted to talk about, like, right then and there before it got too cold. So, yeah, as it gets closer to, some of the primary races and things like that, you know, we'll definitely go sprinkle that in there to, continue to give our opinion on some of this stuff, man. But just want to let the people know, in addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and CastBox. With more outlets to come in the future, you can also connect with us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, follow, subscribe, and all that shit. We appreciate it. You can also check us out on our website at ICBWPodcast.com. That is ICBWPodcast.com. Be on the lookout for the merchandise store. Yeah, I know I've said this shit before. I've been saying it. I'm like, man, you know, you supposed to have the shirts out, pimp. You ain't even got the shirts out and shit. Like, you supposed to have the shirts out. I mean, I want a shirt. You got extra large, man.
Well, is that how they say it?
Yeah, that's how they go. You know how cast the transplants from New York to be down here in Charlotte, right? Like, yo, son, come on, you ain't got the shirts out, son.
Come on, son.
You got me waiting for the shirt, son.
Come on, son.
You know what I'm saying, son? You know, but anyway. Shouts out to New York, man. Y'all are still 20% of our listenership. I have no idea why, but it is. So, I Heart NY. On some real shit.
No doubt.
But again, be on the lookout for the merchandise store, man. It's coming, man. We appreciate your support in advance. I need you to go buy about 30, 40, or 50 of them joints when it drops, man. So, we're going to roll on out, man.
Be good, be safe, and behave, brother.
And we out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression Reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest anew and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture, and we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass justifies the fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say. And since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.